Our next segment here, America's Worst President. This was something that we had come up with, and to celebrate President's Day yesterday, our specific unique way of putting a spin on the President's Day holiday. And we have on actually on the phone lines two of our original dignitaries to help break down the results of the balloting. First and foremost, good friend Tim Faust, who was in studio last week. Tim, good to have you on, my man. How are you?
Great. You guys are always putting a positive spin on things, Rick.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing like celebrating the absolute dregs here. And I Tim, I'm going to resist the effort to make a segue out of what I just said and instead go to probably the most brilliant person I've ever met, my good friend, original dignitary Nate Noy. Well, how you doing, Nate?
I'm all right. I'm not that brilliant, but...
Here's what we got for the balloting. We had posted the ballot up at the FDHLounge.com, and some of the dignitaries from the show were voting on this, and some other individuals as well. And here's what we did with this. Here's how we broke this down. We had nine that were on the ballot, and there were Wikipedia links for some of the different ones, as well as a little bit of a cheat sheet on some of the attributed failings for them. We cast no editorial judgment on whether or not these failings should be judged as such, but the things that they were known for negatively. And then the idea was everybody writes in one additional one of their choice. So I'm going to start by counting our way up from the bottom. And, of course, the write-ins are the ones that had the least number of points in this. And I'll further explain additionally. On this thing with the 10, we did it very, very simply. 10 points for the worst president, 9 for the second worst, whatever, going down to 1. So there were some write-ins who actually were first on some ballots here, but that was kind of rare. Most of us, when we put our write-in, put them a little bit lower in the order. 3 points apiece. These are the presidents that were write-ins that got the least number of points. So I guess it accrues to them, I guess, the most positively, if you want to call it that. Aside from the fact that they're actually on this list, I suppose it would be more positive not to be on this list at all.
But the least worst presidents, right?
Yeah. This so with the 9 that we had, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 write-ins, so 17 of the 44 presidents are represented on this list. 3 points apiece, and I'll see if either of you guys got any takes on this. 3 points apiece for George H.W. Bush and Franklin Roosevelt. Either of you guys got any thoughts on that?
Well, sure. Franklin Roosevelt was my write-in.
Okay.
Or one of my write-ins.
Okay.
And, you know, my take on that was, and you know what, I think I put him 7th. So I think I was the only one to put Franklin Roosevelt on there. So I'm actually kind of surprised that no one else put him on there. And my take on that was, you know, that he, in my opinion, he prolonged the Depression.
He did, actually. I think you had him 8th on yours. I'm looking at this here. But I would agree with your reasoning on that. I ended up going with the present fella for my write-in vote. Franklin Roosevelt was on my short list. And 3 points also for George H.W. Bush. Our liberal friend Kyle Ross put George W. Bush number 1 and George H.W. Bush number 8 as his write-in, partially for being the father of George W. Bush. And on his when he sent his ballot back to me, he was the first one to send a ballot back. He said, Rick, on your rundown for George W. Bush, you forgot he hates black people and he stole the election. I was like, yeah, that's my buddy Kyle for you. Nate, what were your thoughts on H.W. and FDR getting 3 points apiece?
Wow. Well, first of all, you know, FDR was... He began big government in this country. I mean, without him, Tim is absolutely right. The Depression would have, you know, as part of an economic cycle, we would have gotten out of it much, much more quickly. And a lot of the programs that he put in place, you know, created the welfare state through the 50s and up through today. So, yeah, absolutely, he deserves some credit or, you know, notoriety, whatever you want to call it. And H.W. Bush, I could see him getting some points, too. I mean, Ronald Reagan had this country in great shape, and then, you know, Bush and his neoconservative movement just wanted to get us involved in everything, bring in the New World Order, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, I could see him getting some recognition for his failures as well. Read my lips. Yeah, right. So
that's true. You know, and FDR pretty much unilaterally repealing the 10th Amendment and kind of turning this country into a banana republic. So I kind of see that. And George H.W., again, keeping it on the spending trajectory of Reagan. Reagan spent a lot because it was to win the Cold War, it was domestic compromises, et cetera. George H.W. Bush kept the same baseline. I got to say as we go along here, because we got to wrap this thing by about 8:10, 8:12 at the latest, so we're not going to be able to go super in-depth on all of these guys. The ones that were next up the line here, 7 points apiece for LBJ and for Bill Clinton. Either of you guys got any bullet point thoughts on them?
Real quick on Clinton, Rick. Somebody told me that they were visiting Mexico in the height of the Monica Lewinsky stuff. And as soon as I got off the plane, everybody's laughing at him because of Clinton. Saying, oh, look what your president did. I mean, he was an international embarrassment. No question about it. Lying to the public, you know, just avoids impeachment. Clearly deserves to be on the list because, you know, just of his own, his moral character, regardless of his policies, you know, he was one of the least moral presidents we've ever had.
Yeah. Can't really.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to, you know, one of the reasons why I left Clinton off my list was, you know, you could make an argument for the fact, you know, for the impeachment thing and for the morals of it, but. You know, I tried to, and you know, maybe this is a knock on me, but, you know, I tried to stick with what the guy did in office.
Okay.
You know? Well, and not what he did in the office.
Yeah. That's a tasteful distinction there, Mr. Faust. I like that. The next write-ins, I'll just go up the line. Here's the rest of the write-ins. Andrew Jackson, 9. Woodrow Wilson, 10. By the way, on that one, can you tell that my best friend watches the Glenn Beck show an awful lot? 10 points for Woodrow Wilson.
Was that a first place?
Yes.
Was that like
first place vote, Tim?
So he only showed up on one ballot.
Yes. William Henry Harrison with 11, Barack Obama with 13, Obama leading the write-ins. William Henry Harrison, I'm going to say this, because he showed up on two ballots getting points here. He might be the only president that you can be sure left the office no worse than he found it. He was only alive for 30 days, but he didn't get a chance to screw anything up. By my estimation, Tim, that makes him top five.
Well, no, I disagree. I mean, I think that you're neutral then, you know? So you can't be a worst president list if you didn't have time to serve.
Tim, by you, the further you dig into this, neutral is like Superman. If you look at how a lot of these guys left it relative to how they found it, I don't know.
When you said, okay, I'm sorry, you say top five, meaning not top five worst president.
No,
you top five greatest.
Top five greatest. How about that, Nate?
Okay. I agree. Well, actually, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this off air, Nate.
Yeah, we both put him in our top five greatest ever. He didn't screw anything up, so
yeah.
He's got to be in the top five. So.
Yeah, that's and, pretty. That's rarefied air, a U.S. president who didn't screw everything up.
We do this poll in two more years. I think Obama will definitely have earned enough time to be higher on the list.
Well,
you know, give him the benefit of the doubt for now. He certainly deserves recognition, but he hasn't had long enough to screw things up to the point where he's one of the, you know, one of the worst presidents ever. So.
He already leads the write-ins, but not bad for a shade over 2 years in office. But 13 points.
Can we talk about that for just a second?
Yeah.
You know, I know we're crunched on time here, but I think this is an important point, and I want to know what you guys thought about it. Rick, we went back and forth on email about this. You know, I left Obama off my list only because A, we only had one write-in, which I kind of disagreed with that on your rules, Rick. I know you want to keep it simple, but
okay.
You know, the fact that although I don't agree with much of what Obama's doing, I give history the benefit of the doubt, and that's one of the main reasons why I left him off. Because, and quite frankly, I didn't think I don't think it's fair to put George W. Bush on there either, whether or not you agree with his policies. You know, I think history needs a little bit more time at the very least 20 to 30 years in order to judge what someone's done in office. I just want your thoughts on that.
I don't know if there's enough historical revisionism in the world to say that trillions of dollars lost in Mesopotamia and everything else here, the boondoggle of unpaid Medicare prescription giveaways to old folks and everything like that. I don't know if there's enough revisionism in this universe and five others, Tim, to cover that and move him too far up the list. That's just my guess. But as we look at this, Obama was the one who was the leader on the right ends at 13. We jump up to the next couple here. I'm going to mention briefly here, too, the names you're going to hear, these are the ones that were on the ballot. And I went through, I was the one who made the final cut on who were the nine that made us. It's very interesting how they clumped up in three eras. They clumped up right around the time of the Civil War, all of them pre-Civil War except for Andrew Johnson, who was just after the Civil War. Then you have in the 20s, you have Harding and Hoover on either side of Coolidge, who actually is my personal favorite. I'm a big Silent Cal guy. And then the present era. In other words, we are living in one of the three worst eras of all time in terms of U.S. presidents. Lucky us. What a great time to be alive. So here's where we go from there. The bottom half of the guys who are on the ballot at 45 points, the least worst of the nine by the score of the judges, Herbert Hoover, 46 points for Franklin Pierce, 51 for Warren Harding, and 54 for Millard Fillmore. So those are the guys who rounded out the bottom of it there. And in particular, Fillmore, who was on, he was second on my list. Surprised this guy didn't get a little more hate. The Fugitive Slave Act, among other things here. How does the Fugitive Slave Act not get you at least in the top three? I'm going to go to my grave kind of scratching my head on that one. But fellas, take a look at those four here. Hoover, then Pierce, then Harding, then Fillmore as we work our way up.
Well, I think as time moves on, those guys are more forgettable than anything. And I think, you know, 100 years from now, you know, people will hear those names in history class and know a little more about them. You know, I think that says something about them, is that they were bad and they're not even, you know, going to get much recognition in history moving forward as having even been there. So,
well,
one thing we'll never know is the fact that we didn't live during those periods, and we don't know anyone who did live during those periods. History writes somebody, and a lot of the context of what was going on is kind of wrapped into that president's legacy. So I would be curious to get in the time machine and to know exactly how poor or good a president and how much of a bad rap they actually have, you know, just because of the context of the time that they lived in.
Well, none of us know anybody who was alive then, but I used to know a girl who did some historical reenactments from the time. Is that close enough?
Close enough.
Is that okay? All right.
Let me ask this question, Rick.
Yeah.
Say that, you know, the Fugitive Slave Act, what if it had 90% support in the public and everybody at the time thought it was the greatest idea since sliced bread? I mean, the fact, you know, 200 years later, 150 years later, that it, we look back and it was a horrible thing. But if everybody at the time wanted it and he did what the people wanted, does that make him a bad president for doing what the people wanted when he was in office?
So, in other words, if slavery was popular, it was okay? I'm trying to get you out of the hole you just dug there, Nate, but I'm afraid I might be digging you deeper.
Well, I'm just saying, and not just that issue, but any issue. I mean, you know, yeah, it wasn't. But look at Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he was racist to the core. He talked about the inferior race in the Lincoln-Douglas debates and how the black race was inferior to the white race. And he looked upon later on as not a racist. But if you take his comments in the Lincoln-Douglas debates and apply it to today, he's a racist.
Okay.
So, I'm not trying to say anything insensitive. I'm just saying that at that time, if it was the thing everybody wanted, you know, does it make him such a bad person for doing what the people wanted at the time?
Interesting philosophical point. I can't emphasize enough. We're kind of up against it here. The last couple that we got in fifth place, James Buchanan, who, coming into this thing, he was a leader until very late. He led much of the way here, the president right before the Civil War, who presided over the beginnings of secession and did nothing about it. In fourth place, George W. Bush, and tied for second place, Richard Nixon and Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson in particular, if you're going to look at Jim Crow, if you're going to look at everything that came out of the Civil War, Andrew Johnson, a lot of people don't know what he was impeached for. Long story short, it seems that he was impeached for playing footsie with the Confederacy after the Civil War and essentially negating, working to negate so much of what was fought for at such a grave price. So before we get to number one on the list here, guys, thoughts on either of those four, if you got any?
No, they were all bad.
They all suck.
Richard Nixon, good.
Go ahead, Nate.
I was just going to say one thing. Richard Nixon laid the groundwork for destroying the manufacturing base in this country when he opened up trade with China. I mean, I point everything about China back to Richard Nixon. Forget about everything else he did. That is what he did to help destroy this country, is when he opened up trade with China and then got us involved in sending our jobs overseas.
I agree. The stuff people hate him for is stuff everybody did but just didn't get caught at. The stuff people don't realize he did is the worst stuff of all. Number one, and I think, Elaine, I think we do have in the system here a thing. Let's bring that up if we got it here and unveil it. The FDH's Lounge's choice. And this ended up being a little bit of a landslide here as the balloting commenced, because I got some verbal votes late from people. And the way that I did it, I allowed people, if they wanted to just cast one vote, to put somebody down in 10th place, or 10 points for first place, I should say. I got a couple of late ones here. 85 points, so it ended up being something of a landslide here. Voted the worst president of all time, and let's unveil this thing here. We get a chance, Jimmy Carter. And I think Paul Belfie went to the effort here on coming up with a graphic. So we'll swap out Nate's handsome grill here for the worst president in U.S. history as determined by a vote of the FDH Lounge judges. And that is, here we go. I had one. I got to tell you, too, and this is the first I'm seeing of the picture. Belfie's more merciful than me. I sent him a picture that was one of Jimmy Carter picking his nose, and Belfie's like, you know what? It's bad enough. We're voting the guy worst ever. I'm not going to do that to him. So instead, he gets an unduly dignified picture here. So from guys, you can each take it away here. I'll start with you, Tim. Thoughts on Jimmy Carter getting voted our FDH Lounge worst president of all time?
No-brainer. Oil situation, inflation, hostage crisis. I mean, the guy just wasn't prepared to be president. I mean,
yeah.
Actually reminds me a lot of the guy today that we have, just in over his head.
And looking at Iran, we're living with the ramifications even today. That's why he got my first place vote. Nate, some thoughts here before we wrap this.
Ditto to what you guys said. I mean, he was in way over his head, and that's why I point to Nixon. We're still living with ramifications of Carter 30 years later, and, you know, that should not be the case, that you're living with dire ramifications 30 years out from when a guy was in office.
Okay. All right, well, fellas, we got our next guest on the phone line, and we're mandated to take a quick top-of-the-hour break. I appreciate so much both of you guys coming on, Tim Faust and Nate Noy, two of our original FDH Lounge dignitaries. Thanks a lot, fellas. Get you back on real soon.
Thanks, Rick. Talk to you.
Appreciate it, guys. Good to have you on.